Well, welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts and Prayers. I'm glad Phil is back that we can do the Pastor's Thoughts and Prayers again online. I don't know if you get anything out of it, but usually when I do these, it sort of helps me reflect on my own life. And it's really a cool thing to think about your thoughts and express them in words. I've been Hillsdale College, a conservative Christian college, been around since the mid-1800s. I don't know if any of you know Hillsdale College or not, but they do a lot of wonderful things. They provide a lot of online ministry for different people, and they do it for free. There's classes on the Constitution. There's classes on American history. One of the ones that they've had now, which I've been listening to, is on C.S. Lewis, the history of C.S. Lewis and the thoughts about how his allegories have come into being and what they mean. So if you get a chance, go to Hillsdale College and you can look at some of the online teachings of C.S. Lewis and the commentaries. The allegories are really something. Even Walt Disney, or the crew of Walt Disney at one time, took a lot of the allegories of C.S. Lewis and made movies out of them, you know. So it's really neat. But I've been blessed by doing that online at Hillsdale College. You know, one of the things that we've been talking about lately is about Jesus. And we've been in Luke's Gospel for quite a while with the lectionary, and we're grateful for that. But I think sometimes we need to really pay attention to the teachings of Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul and all the prophets and all of them guys, they're wonderful. And they reflect the teachings of Jesus and the teaching of God. You know, he is God. So he created the heavens and the earth, and he is God manifested in the flesh. And I think it's so important, especially in these days, that we pay attention to the teachings of Jesus in Scripture. So that's why I've been in Luke's Gospel for quite a while. Of course, I like to follow the lectionary, but there's some teachings in there that I think that we can all relate to as kids. Example, I think we're all familiar, and I know that I am, to a childhood prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. But I was also a little surprised to learn of the shortened version of the old English prayer that kind of went like this, and I want to share it with you. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, bless the bed that I lie on. Before I lie down to sleep, I give my soul to Christ to keep. Four corners of my bed, four angels there spread, two to foot, two to head, and two to carry me when I'm dead. Oh, I go by sea, I go by land, the Lord made me by his right hand. If any danger comes to me, sweet, sweet Jesus Christ will deliver me. He's the branch, I'm the flower. Pray God, send me a happy hour. Isn't that cool? And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Now, the prayer is an important little prayer. It's kind of like a refrain. But the more important thing is to realize that Christ is our keeper, the caretaker of our soul. And as we slip into unconsciousness at night, we do that by faith. It's always amazed me whenever sometimes I'll sit down in the chair in the middle of the day after lunch or something like that, and I just unconsciously fall asleep. You know, it is by faith that when we go to bed at night that we take and we lay our head on the pillow and we go into unconsciousness for the night. Now, I don't know if that's the way it'll be when we finally go from this life to the next, but I think it gives us a pretty good indication of the eternal life. So, I don't know. I just thought you might be blessed to look at that little prayer that we did as kids. And it's a way of the fear, you know, of being able to be put to bed, so to speak. And at night when we're vulnerable, we want somebody watching over us, don't we? I know I do, and I'm glad that God's watching over me. So as we prepare ourselves with prayer, a little simple prayer like that is really refreshing. Oh, as I lay my head down and I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Isn't that neat little, Jesus said, come unto me, all the children. So we do like to come to the Lord in childlike faith. I think that's what gives us the advantage, because as we go through this life, and most of you know, because I'm getting older too, that the older we get, the more childlike we get. And Ralphie's humble opinion, I think that's God's way of letting us know we have eternal life. So another thing that I was thinking about is we're looking at the scripture this week in Luke 12, especially verses 32 through 40. Think about this as you lay your head down to sleep. Don't worry. Be happy. Did you ever hear that song? That tune always goes through my head. Don't worry, be happy, 'cause when you worry, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down. Don't worry, be happy. We're all happy. At least we should be. When you got the Lord in your heart, you're happy. Now, things in this life, we have a challenge and so forth. I'm not saying we all go around happy and smiling all the time. But when you got the peace that passes all understanding, we happy. Now, that sounds a little superficious, but think about the scriptures in verses 22 through 44 in Luke chapter 12. Jesus' words saying, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat, about what your body will wear, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither reap nor sow, and they fill their storehouse, not the barn, and yet God feeds them. How much valuable are you? So I don't think that we can miss Jesus with that silly little song telling us, don't worry, be happy. And I don't think we need to go too much further in my little silly analogies of being happy and being a part of God's kingdom, as we're all children of the living God. So what's the root of all this, of our worry and our anxiety? I think Jesus would say, basically, it's a lack of trust in God. He said, listen to him. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap, and they neither have storehouses or barn, and yet God feeds them. So anxiety is a spiritual problem. It's a root of all of the things, and it's really the root of our relationship with the living God in Christ who created us. So with that as our foundation, I don't know how we can go wrong. And you put it into the vernacular that Jesus is telling us, don't worry, be happy. Now, I think he might have been thinking a little bit about Solomon in Ecclesiastes. You see that all through even the Old Testament. Don't worry, be happy. If you are a child of the living God, I think you can claim that. So with that, this week, we always lift up joys, concerns, and praises. And we have a lot of things going on in our own life and other people's lives. You know, at church on Sunday morning, when people share their hearts and we lift up the prayers that they mention aloud, we always know there's prayers in the hearts and the minds of people that are not mentioned aloud. But you know what's the most beautiful thing about prayer? You have a relationship with the living God through Christ. You get him all. You get the Holy Spirit, you get God the Father, and you get it all. So when Jesus said you can go into your prayer closet and pray, what he means by that, you can come to me and we can talk. We can have prayer. So even if you don't mention it aloud, you can take those prayers to the throne of grace in Jesus' precious name. So we know that we can come into a prayer of agreement with and for the folks, and we're grateful for that. And there's also sometimes people will put little notes in the prayer box, and we always pay attention to them. And Linda Sassine put one in, and she asked for prayer for Lake and Caitlin, Ryan, and Grono, I think their last name is. They're having some problems in their family with COVID and maybe other health issues. And Linda also put a prayer request in there to pray for her family. And I think that's so important, that prayer of intercession. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're doing, it's good to just let the body of Christ know so we can lift you up in prayer. Jesus taught us how to pray in so many ways. And it's really cool to know that Jesus prayed for us. He created us. And in John 17, he prayed for us. I encourage you to read that chapter in John 17. I think you'll be blessed to know that God who created you is praying for you. But the disciples also knew that Jesus would go off by himself and pray. And they often wondered, Lord, what are you doing when you go off? He said, well, I'm talking to the Father. And they said, well, can we talk to the Father? He said, sure. He said, I want to give you a model prayer for all of your prayers to line up with. It's a familiar prayer, and we always pray it by rote, meaning by memory. A couple different versions in the New Testament, but the traditional one is this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us for our trespasses. And as we forgive them that trespass against us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, I hope and pray you're having a good day. And if you would want us to pray for you, we got some tremendous prayer warriors in this church. And some of you know who they are, and there are really some people that don't know that we have a prayer warrior, but they're always praying. You know, that women's group that we have, Bethel Women, are tremendous prayer warriors. But we got a couple men in the church, too, that are prayer warriors. So we welcome your prayers. Let me know. Let Phil know. And even if you don't want us to mention them aloud, we can keep you in intercessory prayer. Well, have a wonderful and blessed day. In Jesus' name, amen.